Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you here this morning. I want to take a minute before I get into what I believe the Lord has asked me to share this morning, and it's this, just to take a moment to thank God for all the volunteers that make church happen. You know, on any given Sunday morning, there are literally dozens of individuals serving, some you'll see, some behind the scenes, some during the week, all different times, but are serving in and through the church. And so, you know, that's the welcome people, the hospitality people. We have people working with different, recovery groups. The list goes on and on. How about all the kids teachers, all the, you know, that help with our young people? All behind the scenes while you get to sit here all cushy in a nice soft chair and have church, all right? But others are doing that. So here's my point. I want to take a minute and thank them. What about the people who led us in worship this morning? They just didn't show up this morning and say, okay, guys, let's do a few songs. You know, they had to plan during the week. They had to practice. And they had to all come together for practice. Not only that, they got to put up with me twice. They come to the first service and sing and play. Then they come to the second service and do it again. You know, God bless them. Special blessings on them. You get what I'm saying? So the point is, there's all kinds of people. And I just want to take a minute to thank all of those. Some of you are those people. You know, you're rotating in and out. You're not on duty this week. And I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you. And again, if there's someone here or someone's here, they're like, well, I'd like to get involved. Well, listen, we're not holding you back at all. You know, there's that little form under the seat in front of you, and you can just put your name, a way to contact, and say, I'm interested in doing something here at church. Help me. You know, and we'll get hold of you, and we'll have a conversation. And let me tell you something. I've been in churches where you volunteer for something, and it's become a lifelong, they put like shackles on you and say, ha, 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 we got you now. You know, and for the rest of your life while you're in that church, you're doing that thing. That's not what we do here. You know, we just say, well, what would you like to do? And you try something for a season, and then we connect back with you and say, well, how's it going? If you say, well, I'd maybe like to try something else. I don't feel the fit here. Great. You know, we're not going to have any issue with it at all. But listen, unless you try, you don't know whether the next great thing that you're doing in your life, unless you try it. You hear what I'm saying? So I encourage you, if you're interested in getting involved, you know, do. You know, God's got a place for every person in the body of Christ. Amen? So this last couple of weeks, as we've gone into a new year, can you believe we're almost a 12th done, 2025 already? Isn't that scary? You know, talk about, I feel like life is like a roller coaster, that the coaster gets higher and higher as you get near the end. You know, just keeps going faster as you get older, right? Faster and faster. But we've been talking about being intentional. In other words, not just kind of coasting through life and letting circumstances and situations dictate the direction you're going, but to take hold of life, to take hold of the horn, so to speak, and say, no, I'm making decisions, good decisions in God to move forward in what God's called me to. And not only that, how about in your jobs, with your family, with finances? You know, the list goes on and on. God's called us to be proactive in our lives and to be intentional in our lives. That's how we're supposed to be. And how does that happen? Well, we have to be Spirit-led for that to happen. Only if the Spirit of God is part of the equation, or else we're like the rest of the world, kind of blind to the future. But here's the thing. Jesus, who lives in you, knows your past, your presence, and listen to this, He knows your future. And He knows what's best for you now for the best possible future in your life. And so we have access to the Holy Spirit. And really, in a theme sort of way, that's what we're going to be talking about. We made a point last week and we said this, that we are a spiritual being having a human experience. And that's how we need to think our lives are. We're not humans having a spiritual experience once in a while. God has called us to be spiritual beings first. And then we live in tents, flesh and blood bodies, right? We naturally are here, but that's secondary. And so if we believe that, then we need to walk in the Spirit, right? Because we're children of God, right? Children of God, follow the Spirit of God. And that's what we're called to do. So last week, I talked about a kind of an introduction to being more spiritual. And I told you, you had to go to boot camp. Nobody really wanted to hear that. I took an interview last week and said, well, who's been to a real boot camp? And had a number of people put up their hands. And I said, was it hard? They all nodded. You know, yes, it was hard. And I asked the question, but was it worth it? And all their hands went back up again. Because boot camp focuses that individual to be ready to do the job that's set before them. Well, here's the thing. In the realm of the Spirit, God has giftings and callings upon your life that have been set before you. And for you to be able to fulfill them, you have to go to boot camp. And we went to Matthew chapter 5 and read a few verses there. And essentially, it was the beginning of boot camp. And what was your homework? Anybody remember? Right, you needed to read all of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And let me tell you something. In there, it shows you how you to have a right attitude towards God, towards yourself, and towards your fellow mankind. And through that, it's all developed in those three chapters. Life-changing. So if you weren't here last week, I encourage you, read those three chapters and ask the Lord, saying, hey, show me what you want to show me in these scriptures. And I promise you, God will speak to you. Amen? So this week, as we move on a little bit, here's what we're doing. Let me begin with a story. About 6 months ago, Sandra and I decided we thought we wanted to put solar panels on our house. You know, the idea is that, we could save some money and be a little bit more green, all those kinds of things. So we began the process. And so finally, we found the people we wanted to do it, and they did it. So they put them all up. It was about 3 weeks before Christmas. I'm all excited, right? Because they give you an app so you can see how much electricity you're producing, how much money you're saving. It's like, so I kept looking at my app every day, right? Every day. Zero, 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 zero. Like, what the heck? Sun's shining, right? Panels are there. Everything's, the little lights on the green box, saying, everything should be working. So I call up the guys, and they're like, oh, yeah, sorry. Central Hudson has to come and inspect it. We got inspected, and finally the town has to come and inspect it. I'm like, well, when's that going to happen? And they're like, well, they didn't have an answer. So few more weeks go on, I keep hassling them. Finally, Central Hudson came, guy looked at it, and like a day later, I get a notice, you've been turned on. I'm like, really? Okay. So I look at my app, and I see the little bar going up, the sun's shining, power is happening, right? And so I was thrilled. Now the thing is, power had been there for 3 weeks. In other words, the sun was shining on those photovoltaic panels, right? And there was electricity available, but somewhere in the system, there's a gap, right? The power hadn't been turned on, so that bus bar had closed, where power then could flow into the grid and I could start saving money. Well, the thing is, for us as Christians, there's a parallel to this, that I believe that there is power available for each and every one of us. The question I want to ask us today is, have you flipped the switch? You see, in my case, I had to wait for somebody else to flip the switch for my electricity to work. But in your case and in my case, the Holy Spirit's power and presence is available. And the person that flips the switch isn't Central Hudson, isn't some other person, isn't even your pastor or anyone else. It's you. You're the one that flips the switch. And that's really what I want to talk about today is how to flip the switch and become more spiritual in a physical world. So let's begin with Jesus, all right? And here's what he said. You need to have a spiritual thirst. So let's go to John chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Okay, so listen, let me give you a little history. You need to have a little background on this so that you can understand the greater context of what God is saying here. Okay, so this was one of the festivals or one of the feasts. In the Old Testament, there were three main feasts that all the children of Israel had to go up to Jerusalem to celebrate, all right? So you had Passover, you had Pentecost, and then you had the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Well, this particular one is actually the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. They used different names for it, but it meant the same thing. So when was this? In context, Jesus was on the earth for, 33 and a half years, right? From birth to death. So he always was, right? But then came here in a bodysuit, so to speak, in human form, was here for 33 and a half years, and then went as a spirit back into heaven. And so at the 33-year point is when this happened. It was about a half a year before Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary. So he, being, fulfilling the law of the Old Testament, went to all the feasts. He did all the stuff he was supposed to do as an Old Testament follower of God. So he's at this event, okay? And so they're there, And one of the things they did, it's called the Feast of Booths, because everybody that was there in Jerusalem, even if you had a perfectly good house in Jerusalem, you wouldn't live in it for this period of about a week. You would actually make like a temporary dwelling in your backyard. And people coming in to Jerusalem would make tents, you know, around the temple area and just everywhere they could build a spot, and they would dwell in these temporary dwellings for like a week. Say, well, why did they do that? That seems like a little crazy. Well, they did it to celebrate God's provision. Because if you remember, the children of Israel were in the wilderness for how long? 40 years, right? And so they were going from Egypt to the land of promise, to Canaan. And so for that time, they were in tents and temporary dwellings. And so God provided, though, right? And so this whole celebratory time was them living in tents to reflect back on how God had provided for those 40 years. Now, as part of that ceremony, every day for 7 days, a priest would go to one of the pools that were in Jerusalem, and he would take water, and he would pour it out. And what that meant was it showed that God had provision for them, that even though they were in the wilderness, even though they were dwelling in a temporary place, that God provided for them daily. There was also another reason why they poured out the water. It was also to believe God, because it was in the springtime, that there would be former and latter rains, that the early rains would come and the late rains would come for a good crop for that coming year. And so that's the symbolism of it. Now, the priests of that day taught as well that this had to talk about the future as well, that one day you would tabernacle with God himself. One day, every provision would be made. And you and I can read about that. If you read the last couple chapters of the book of Revelations, you see that there's going to be a new Jerusalem come down, right? And it says that man will dwell with God. That, in fact, it even says there won't be any more sun. My solar panels won't work anymore. That there's only going to be the light of the Lord will be all that we need, right? And the presence of Jesus will be there all the time, 100% of the time. How many people are looking forward to that day? Amen? And so they taught about that. But the part, and that's true. So what they taught about the past and the future was absolutely true. What they were missing was the middle part. And that's where Jesus comes along. And so picture this. The whole thing is gone. You know, they're dwelling in their temporary tents. The water's been poured out, this whole ceremonial thing, for 7 days. Now, on the eighth day, they celebrated, but there was no pouring out of water. On the eighth day. And this is the day that Jesus speaks. Let's look back now in context. What did he say? He said this. On the last and greatest day of the festival, so that eighth day, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Now, I want you to think about this. So here's Jesus. He had been through the entire ceremonies. You know, he'd seen the water being poured out. And people are like, okay, that's cool, you know, and everything. And here's what Jesus was saying even that day. And I believe he's saying to us now. Are you still thirsty? In other words, they had gone through this pouring out of water and everything. And he's basically saying, are you satisfied with what you've had happen? Is there satisfaction in just remembering the past and looking forward to the future? And here's what he's saying. If you are thirsty, come to me. What was he saying? He's saying, look, there's a past and there's a future. But he's also saying, there's a present right now that I want to satisfy your thirst. I don't know about you, but I've been doing church a long time. My parents took me to church before I could walk, you know, just like that little baby over there. I lived in church, you know, all the way through. I'm not going to tell you how many more years, but I'll tell you decades, all right? Decades and decades and decades, a long time. I've been in church. And one of the things that happened when I came to the Lord when I was about 20 is I said, Lord, I don't want to just have church. I don't want to just go to church, go through the rituals, you know, have communion once in a while, sing some songs, amen, and up, down, do your thing. I don't want to do that. And I made that confession to the Lord a long time ago. And he said to me, he said, son, if you don't want to just do church, then you've got to flip the switch. You've got to let me come in. You've got to let me work in and through you. And I realized something a long time ago, that you have to make a decision to flip the switch. And Jesus right here is saying, look at, are you wanting to flip the switch? Is there a hunger in you? So for example, every service, almost without exception, we give the opportunity to flip the switch. And what do I mean by that? Well, you heard there was a call for anyone that wanted prayer. What is that? What are we really saying? Hey, do you want to flip the switch in some area of your life? Do you need help in some area? You know, do you need Jesus to intervene somehow in some way? Then flip the switch. And what we're saying is to flip the switch is come forward and stand up here and we'll pray with you. That's what we're saying. We're saying, will you flip the switch? We're asking you, will you choose to make a decision and move towards him? And that's what Jesus was saying that day. He's just saying, are you thirsty enough to do more than just the rote? Are you thirsty enough to do more than what you do every day? Why do you think we're offering the Right Now Media to you? We're hoping that some of you will flip the switch and say, yeah, I want to put more into my life. I want to put more Jesus into my life so I can be changed in my life. That's why we're doing it. Do you think we want to spend all the money we spent? And let me tell you, it's not cheap. It's not cheap for it to be free for you, all right? But we're doing it, why? Because we want to help you as easy as possible for you to flip the switch. And literally, an app on your phone, you don't even have to flip the switch. It's like, boop, you just push the button, boop. You know, we're making it so easy. You know what I'm saying? And even John told you, if you can't get the app figured out, we'll help you. We'll load the app. All you have to do is go, boop. You know, that's it. And you've got the flip, you know, the switch is flipped, all right, to allow Jesus to become more in your life. And that's what Jesus was saying here. And why can I say that? You know, it ends with, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him would later receive. So literally, we're given the interpretation of what he's talking about. He's saying, look, at that living water is the presence and power of Jesus. It is the Spirit of God. And that's what God wants you and I to experience on a regular basis. But the question is, how thirsty are you? Or are you still, and again, I'm not pointing at anybody, I put my hand like this, so it's just like, are you still trying to satisfy your thirst with the natural things of this world? How's that working out for you? You're still thirsty, aren't you? I don't know about you, but I am. You know, you pursue different things, and you're like, oh, this is going to be so cool. And sometimes you get to the end of it, and it's kind of a hollow kind of victory, isn't it? Why? Because it's not a thirst quencher like Jesus can be. Let me tell you something, one of the greatest joys. Let me tell you, you want me to tell you one of the greatest thirst quenchers is leading somebody to Jesus. Man, that just makes you feel ooey and gooey inside. Nothing quenches your thirst more than that. Why? Because that's the heart of Jesus. That's why we exist down here, church. Listen, if you're part of the body of Christ, if you don't know Jesus yet, all that I'm saying to you is gooblygap right now. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, accept Jesus and you'll begin to understand. But the thing is, for those of us that know Jesus, I'm talking real rubber hits the road kind of stuff. And we need to come to a place of not becoming complacent and just kind of doing church, just doing life, saying, okay, this is enough of Jesus. You know, my Sunday morning experience and maybe a little other time over here. Listen to me. Jesus should be a part of every box in your life. Your family life, your finances, your job, the list goes on. You should be every part of every aspect of your life. If not, then you're not thirsty, my friends. You need to be thirsty and let him into every part. You know what I've realized? Every part I've let him in, he's made it better every section of my life. I never said after I let him into one area, oh man, I shouldn't have let Jesus in on that. I never ever. Every time I've said, Jesus, I surrender. I get off the throne in that area and I let him take his rightful place. It's always been better. Now, it might be a little painful, might be, you know, a little bit of adjustment period, but let me tell you, when it's all over, it was always better. Can you say amen to that? Because it's the same for you. I'm not somebody special. You're all the same. He loves all of us the same. So if you do the same thing and flip the switch, it will be better, I promise you. Amen. Okay. So here's the thing. So that step one, right? We need to have spiritual thirst. Here's the next one. We must know that we've been spiritually empowered. This is really important. Paul says this in Ephesians. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand as God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Go back to verse 16 for me for a second. So look at this. Paul's praying that his glorious limited resources, does it say? What's it say? Unlimited resources. That he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Listen to me. God has unlimited resources. Go outside on a cloudless night and look up to the heavens. And then if you really want to blow your mind, just take binoculars or even a small telescope and just look at the heavens. galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies in our own universe. And then there's other universes. And I'm told that they're expanding continually. That is the example of God's unlimited power. In fact, scientists can't figure it out. They don't know, well, how come everything can keep expanding and growing? How can something from nothing become something? God, He's the answer. His unlimited resources, the unseen becoming seen, as Scripture says in Hebrews 11. That's what it is. And here's the thing. That same God who's still expanding our universe is at work in you. Unlimited resources at your disposal. But have you flipped the switch? Have you realized that? And here's the thing. As we go on and read that, what is it all about? Unlimited resources that you could comprehend what? We read it. His love. Wow. That we could understand His love. Well, hold it. Well, what about all the other stuff we need to know? Let me tell you something. The root of being spiritual in Jesus is to experience His love so you can share His love. I've counseled a lot of people over the years, and they have all kinds of different issues. But you know what I've found that often the root of it is? They're not sure how much God loves them. Or they think there's strings attached to the love that God has for them. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, that love part is broken in some way. Now, I wish I could help you understand this better. There was better English words. But here's what I do know. In that scripture we just read, the love there, agapeo, is a verb. Now, what does that mean? It's not just saying, I love you. It's saying, I love you. What can I do for you? That's the kind of love that Jesus has for you and I. And then in turn, in knowing that, we're then to share that love with those around us. And in fact, how do we do that? And that takes us to step three. So step one is you need to have spiritual thirst. Step two, we must know that we've been spiritually empowered. Step three, and this is the one that is a bit of a hitch for some people, we are called to function in the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, before you even get into it, you know what I find? I find that there are churches that don't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't even believe that they're active today. Well, how can you flip a switch if you believe it's a dead circuit? In other words, if you don't believe there's any power, if you don't believe in the gifts, you're not going to flip the switch for that to happen. Let me tell you something. The gifts are still active today, as Scripture says. All right? Don't let anybody with some big degree or a bunch of letters after their name tell you any different. You know the sad thing is that often those people with all the letters after their name, because they haven't experienced the fruit and the gifts, therefore they have concluded they don't exist. Who made them God? You get what I'm saying? What right do they have because they haven't experienced something to tell the rest of the world, since I did not experience it, then there is no way that they're here. Who made you God? Wouldn't it be better for us to go to God's boot camp where He says to be humble, poor in spirit? That's what we learned last week. And to realize we don't have the answers He does, and His word is true. And if His word says there's gifts, if His word says there's fruit, I got news for you. There's fruit and gifts. It's just the way it is. So let's take a minute. I just want to take a minute and just touch on this because I'm going somewhere with this. All right. So the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So here's the list, right? We got nine fruits. Now, this can be interpreted a lot of different ways. We could say, okay, there's nine fruits. But I don't believe that's what that list says. Now, let me help you with this. And I'm not the only guy that thinks this, all right? I want you to see something. First of all, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say, but the fruits of the Spirit. Do you see that? Singular. So the fruit of the Spirit. So some Bible versions even do it this way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then there's a semicolon after love. And then you have the other eight fruits. So based upon what we've learned, what's the most important thing in our walk with God is to what? Know His love, right? So the whole base is love. So I believe this is exactly saying the same thing. He's saying, look, but the fruit of the Spirit is love manifested through joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You hear where I'm going with this? And what bears witness to this, if you read just a little further on in the Bible, the Apostle Paul says that if you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal. You're not making any sense or any help to anyone. In other words, it's all based in love. So my question is, how do we bear fruit? Well, here's the cool part. It's not something you try to do. It's something that you let do. See, if you're part of the body of Christ, then you're part of the vine. That's what the Word of God says. You read it in John 15, all right? You're connected to the vine. Now, if you've got an apple tree, for example. Now, does an apple tree have to try to make apples? Do you ever hear, go near an apple tree in the springtime and hear it straining? Trying to make the apple buds come. And you don't hear any of that, right? But here's the thing. As that branch is connected to the tree and the tree is connected to the roots, as the roots are drawing up nutrients and then the leaves are through photosynthesis, oh, back to the solar panels again, you know, sucking in the light, right, and converting that to energy. What happens is those little buds happen and then the apple forms. And so that tree, because it is an apple tree, bears apples because it's connected. You and I bear fruit of the Spirit as we're connected to the love of Jesus. That's how it happens. Not something you have to try to make happen or force to happen, but rather as you are thirsty for Him and draw near to Him, it just happens. All right? And literally the character of Jesus just comes out of you. How many people want the character of Jesus to come out? Amen. So here's the thing. I want to warn you right now. You might look at that list and say, well, man, I'm not a real patient person. I'm going to pray for patience. How many people think that's a good idea? No, it is a good idea. We should pray. But here's the thing. You might not get what you expected. See, God won't just douse you with patience then. Here's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to come along, and it is going to test your patience. Ooh. And then you're going to grow in patience towards that, right? Because you allow the Spirit of God to work in and through you. All right, what about kindness? Oh, Jesus, make me a kinder person, right? Now, you'd like to believe then that awesome, kind people would just come into your life and you're like, oh, it's just so easy to be kind because they're so kind to me. Guess what? The most miserable person you've ever met will come into your life. And it's like, Lord, I don't want to be kind to them. And he says, well, that's why you have to let my fruit come out. So it's not about you being kind. It's about me being kind through you. So the question is, are you willing to take a step aside or a step back to let Jesus, His fruit come out? Amen. Good litmus test to see how mature you are in the Lord. Just a little side note to that. But the fruit, it's all about the fruit. Demonstrated love is the main thing. And then all the other fruits are attributes of love. Amen. Okay, let's move on. So that's the fruit. And again, I'm not going to take a lot of time to dissect all that. So let's look at our last scripture for this morning. And it's found in Corinthians. So here we have a gift list, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But to one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. If you go back to the first verse that we looked at, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all. So here we have the gifts of the Spirit. What are they designed for? To bless everybody, including yourself. And this is just so, so important. So what's the difference between a fruit and the gifts? What's the difference? Well, here's the thing. The fruit is the character and nature of the Spirit of God, right? The gifts are empowerment, listen, so that the fruit can be more manifest. So here you are, for example, you want to be kind to somebody. You want to help them, right? And it's like, well, Lord, I don't know how to help them. Well, that's where the gifts come into action, where you might get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or discerning of spirits to be able to actually help them to overcome. You see, God hasn't called us to just pity people around us. Nowhere did it say that Jesus saw someone in a difficult situation and it says that He pitied them. No, you know what it says? It says He had compassion on them. And then He acted. You see, here's the cool thing. If you look at the life of Jesus while He walked in His public ministry, you see all the fruits and all the gifts fully manifested because He was God. Now, I read at the end of every gospel that Jesus tells us to do something. He tells us to be like Him and do what He did. Well, that means that we're to operate in the fruit and the gifts as He did. So what's the difference between pity and compassion? Pity means you feel bad, but there's nothing you can do. But compassion means you see the need, and then you meet that need. And that's what the gifts of the Spirit allow you to do. And it's not just about helping others, it's about helping you. I had a beautiful conversation with a dear friend of mine a couple days ago. And she was sharing how, from her past, from her childhood, how God had shown her some things concerning why certain things happened and why she is a certain way now. And how God was revealing those things to her. Well, how does that all happen? It's through the gifts of the Spirit of God. All right, so word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, prophetic, you know, all that kind of mixed together. And she gets a revelation. And God's not done with her yet, but she's on a pathway to a revelation that's going to help her move further down the road with Jesus. And that's what the gifts are designed to do, help you and help others. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time to, in fact, none at all, to dissect all the gifts. You know why? Because, listen, the Apostle Paul gave us that list of all those gifts to say all of those are from the same Spirit. Now, how many people have just a part of Jesus inside of them? Anybody? No, we got them all, right? We have the entire Holy Spirit in us. And so these lists are to help us to kind of mentally understand the different aspects and the way the Spirit of God works. So please don't get boxed in by saying, well, I have the gift of faith, and that's the only gift I've got. Or I have the gift of healing, and that's the only gift I've got. Or I have a gift of prophecy. Listen, if you're the only Christian available in a given situation and a certain gift is needed, who's going to get tapped on the shoulder? You are, all right? So don't box God in. Now, here's the thing. We all have specialty areas, all right? Absolutely. Different people have different, you know, aspects and different ways that they flow in the Spirit, and that's wonderful. But let me tell you something. You have the Holy Spirit, and all of those aspects are down inside of you, and God will pull out whichever one He wants. The question is, are you thirsty enough to say, Jesus, I want this to happen in my life? Amen. All right. So for those that need some lists, let me just show you this. The gifts can be separated into three different sections, all right? So you have the speaking gifts, which are prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, revealing gifts, which is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and then the doing gifts, right? Faith, healing, working of miracles. And so for me, that just helps me to kind of see the three areas. But please don't say, well, I'm this box or I'm that box or the other box. I have found that in my life, it's all just kind of a mishmash of, you know, it could be prophecy, word of knowledge, faith combined. You get what I'm saying? They all kind of get off. Why? What did Jesus say? He said, come to me if you're thirsty, and out of your innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Did he say gifts of the Spirit in little clumps? You know, this gift pops out of you or that gift. No, rivers of living water. And the idea is the water's all flowing. It's all mixed together. And that's how you need to understand how the gifts work in your life. So don't put each one in a box, but rather say, Lord, I am thirsty for any and all gifts. And here's the thing. The Bible says this, that Jesus ascended on high and he gave gifts to mankind. And God is generous. Why? Because he has unlimited resources, church. All right? So listen, don't say, well, I'm just meek and mild, and Jesus only wants to give me one little gift. Stop that. Slap yourself. Say, I deserve all that God's got for me because I'm his kid. All right? And just take it all. Why? So you can be blessed, and then you can pour out. Here's the thing. So you can be blessed. It's poured into you. So in turn, you can pour it out on all those around you. That's what God has called us to do with the platform of love. Amen? And so again, for those that are note takers, let me just give you these 3 points, right? So how can we flip the switch and become more spiritual in a physical world? You need to be what? Spiritually thirsty, right? You must know that you've been spiritually empowered. So not only do you know you're thirsty, but God has empowered you. All right, and finally, third, we're called to function in the fruit and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that we're not just a talking church, but we're a doing church. And I thank you for every person that's here physically, those watching online. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that they can see your love. For Lord, on the foundation of your love, lives are changed. So, Lord, first of all, if there'd be someone here that doesn't know you personally, that right at this moment, they just invite you into their hearts. Surrender to you and begin to experience your presence in a powerful new way. Father, I pray for those that are on a journey with you already. It's most of the people here. And I pray, Lord God, that through today they've been encouraged that no matter how long they've been on the journey, there's more. And as we hunger and thirst after you, just as David in the Old Testament said, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. The Lord God, that our souls, our mind, our will, and emotions would just seek after you, Lord God, that we could grow and experience your presence, experience your love in powerful new ways, and in turn, through the fruit and the gifts, touch our world around us in your name. So, Father, we give this day to you. Bless each one, Lord God, as they allow you to become part of every section of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.